Senhor Presidente.
President of the Republic, General Secretary of the Council of Europe, Deputy Chair of the Parliamentary Assembly of the Council of Europe, representing the Chair of the Parliamentary Assembly, Director of the Executive Committee of the North-South Centre, Minister of Foreign Affairs, Minister of Science and Technology, parliamentary leaders, members of Parliament, ambassadors, members of the diplomatic corps, laureates. I hereby declare this session open, and I will quickly speak to welcome everybody to the Portuguese Parliament. It's a pleasure to welcome the North-South Prize-giving ceremony for a number of different reasons. Firstly, because the Council of Europe is important to us. It was the first organization in Europe for human rights and to promote rule of law. Here, the young Portuguese democracy asked to join in 1986. So the North-South Center is based here in Portugal, and its mission is extremely important to us, and that is to favor Euro-Mediterranean dialogue in these important areas. Just as are human rights and rule of law. Thirdly, the award which rewards the performance of those personalities or organizations, one from the north and the other from the south, which are dedicated to promoting human rights, intercultural dialogue, and solidarity between north and south. Fourthly, for the prestige which the prize has, and for those personalities who have received the prize, feel that. Mário Soares, for example, Kofi Annan, Mikhail Gorbachev, Lula da Silva, who at different points received the North-South Prize, and institutions such as the Committee for the International Fight Against the Death Penalty. Finally, I would like to greet and congratulate the laureates this year. It is a great honour for us to witness the prize giving to COVAX and to a leader of the cause of democracy and human rights and women in Afghanistan. Welcome all of you, and I wish you the best success to the North-South Centre, the Council of Europe, and the laureates in their joint efforts to promote democracy, rule of law, and human rights. I shall now pass the floor to the Chair of the Executive Committee of the North-South Centre, Lorenzo Vella.
Thank you. President of the Portuguese Republic, President of the Assembly of the Republic of Portugal, Secretary General of the Council of Europe, Ministers, Chairperson of the Portuguese Delegation to the Parliamentary Assembly of the Council of Europe, distinguished parliamentarians of the Portuguese Assembly, distinguished laureates of the North-South Prize, Executive Director of the North-South Centre, Excellencies, ladies and gentlemen. Having taken up my role as Chair of the Executive Committee of the North-South Centre just over 3 months ago, I feel honoured and privileged to be with you here today during this special and important ceremony. For the past 32 years, since 1989, the North-South Centre has been promoting a culture of solidarity and mutual understanding with the aim to bridge the gap of inequalities worldwide and to mobilize commitment to act together in response to global challenges. The North-South Center was set up with the purpose to spread the universal values upheld by the Council of Europe beyond the European continent. And it is exactly this, the firm belief in the principles of democracy, human rights, and the rule of law upon which the North-South Centre was founded, that today fills me with more confidence, positivity, and courage in the belief that this centre can continue making a difference for us all, especially during turbulent times like these, where the geopolitical context within which we are working in is significantly affecting global interdependence. But we are here not simply to reiterate and stress the importance that the North-South Centre plays within the architecture of the Council of Europe and beyond, but to celebrate the new laureates of the North-South Prize. The North-South Prize, established in 1995, by honouring the outstanding work of the laureates, has been raising awareness about the fact that human rights, democracy, and the rule of law cannot be taken for granted, and that still today, North and South need to work hand in hand to create a better convergence towards these fundamental principles that we all share. Throughout these years, the prize has proven that against conflict, discrimination, and inequality, efforts based on international solidarity, cooperation, and multilateralism are key to the solution. Today, in fact, we are faced with the urgent need to restore multilateralism, international solidarity, and cooperation at a time when they are being undermined by geopolitics and geoeconomics. From tendentially more open and interdependent societies to inward nationalistic views, the war and the pandemic have not only deeply affected global cooperation in a wide range of critical areas of interdependence, but also increased the vulnerability of already vulnerable groups by making them even more excluded. This year's North-South Prize Award ceremony intends to honor the nature of the work of the two laureates, which is most dear to that of the North-South Center. Interdependence and solidarity at the one hand, and on the other, the political participation of women and women empowerment and courage amidst conflict. When it comes to women in the context of conflict, Ms. Ghaffari is a living example of courage, perseverance, and tenacity. Known for her efforts to advance women's rights in Afghanistan, Ms. Ghaffari is one of the only female mayors in the history of Afghanistan, as well as the youngest. During its deliberations, the jury of the North-South Prize took all these elements into consideration, rewarding not only Ms. Ghaffari's courage, but also her work in advancing women's rights in Afghanistan and beyond, and for being a beacon of hope for girls and women worldwide, and particularly those in Afghanistan who are now finding it more and more difficult to work, study, and speak out. Ms. Ghaffari, you truly symbolize the reason of the existence of this award, and you truly deserve to be honored here today. The same can be said for the COVAX mechanism. The flow of international aid has drastically changed, and so did the dynamics of cooperation. Those who were already in need of international solidarity before are still, if not even more, today in need. As a groundbreaking global collaboration to accelerate the development, production, and equitable access to COVID-19 tests, treatments, and vaccines, the COVAX mechanism illustrates how international cooperation can provide a pivotal tool to address common challenges in an interdependent world. During the pandemic, especially during the initial rollout of the tests and subsequently the vaccines, we have seen and experienced how some regions of the world were being left behind to fight the pandemic with very limited tools and resources. It was thanks to the development of the COVAX mechanism and the dedication and commitment of thousands of individuals that treatments, tests, and vaccines could be more equitably distributed around the globe. Because as we say, no one is safe until everyone is. The jury of the North-South Prize took all this into consideration when awarding this year's prize to the COVAX mechanism. As I said earlier, the COVAX mechanism epitomizes the true meaning of solidarity and interdependence. I would like to take this opportunity to congratulate this year's laureates. The value of the work that this year's laureates undertake are fully in line with the mission of the North-South Center. And that is why I continue to harbor the hope that in the coming months and years, the center could further enlarge to more member states, both from the north and from the south, as this would greatly contribute to further enhance its potential as an instrument. As an instrument of cooperation and solidarity, as a bridge for understanding between Europe and the South. I thank you for your attention and congratulate again the laureates for winning this year's North-South Prize. Thank you.
Thank you. I now give the floor to the President of the Portuguese Parliament representing the Parliamentary Assembly of the Council of Europe, Edith Estrela.
Senhor Presidente da República.
President of the Portuguese Republic, Speaker of the Portuguese Parliament, Secretary General of the Council of Europe, Chair of the Executive Committee of the North-South Centre, Minister of Foreign Affairs, Minister of Science, parliamentary leaders, ambassadors, members of Parliament, ladies and gentlemen, laureates, ladies and gentlemen. On behalf of the President of the Parliamentary Assembly of the Council of Europe, Tini Cox, and myself, I greet and congratulate the laureates, the COVAX mechanism, and Zarifa Ghaffari, who, in different contexts and in different ways, have defended the lives of others, and no greater gift can be offered to others. The COVAX mechanism, by guaranteeing access throughout the world to COVID-19 vaccines, enabled lives to be saved and to prevent hospitalization, to overcome the virus, and to return to normality. Zarifa Ghaffari was the youngest mayoress in Afghanistan. Throughout her still short life, she has escaped a number of attempts on her life, the first on her way to school. Not attempts at murdering her have diverted her from the fight for women's rights, which are simply human rights. Excellencies, I was born in the same year as the Council of Europe. Together, we are commemorating 70 years of existence. I had the privilege to be chosen to symbolize, through metonymy, the growth and development of the oldest European institution. I was born and I grew up in a dictatorship. I know what it's like not to have the right to vote nor freedom of speech. I know how it's still difficult to be a woman in the 21st century. So it's with great pleasure that I congratulate this extraordinary, brave and inspiring woman, a woman, Zarifa Ghaffari. And for her and with her, I publicly want to support the cause of Afghan women against the Taliban dictatorship. Women who risk their lives for the right to education and work, just as already happened in Pakistan with the young Malala, and which is happening in Iran now. I want to add my voice to those others of indignation and disgust for the death of the young Iranians, Mahsa Amini and Hadis Najafi, victims of violent repression by the Iranian police. I applaud the brave women who don't accept to be treated as second-class citizens and give their lives for basic rights. Every year, many thousands of women are victims of female genital mutilation and are obliged to marry young, interrupting their natural physical and psychological development. In many parts of the world, women are maltreated by those in power, for whom human rights are merely an abstract concept, which don't apply in the lands which they dominate. And they are murdered by zealots for tradition and customs which don't recognize women's basic rights, such as access to education, health, choosing what to wear and with whom to marry. Founding rights of the Council of Europe, universal rights which are recognized by democratic societies, rights that should guide the political and legal decision-making process, and be always defended by all right-thinking people, because rights are not privileges. Dear Zarifa Ghaffari, I was also a mayoress at a time when politics was a masculine domain. In these and other roles, I learned that society is far more tolerant to men than to women, that every day women have to prove that they have merit, and that the merit of men is rarely questioned. I learned that the media speak particularly about our appearance, our clothes and the shoes that we wear, and very, very rarely about our ideas. And if it was like that in Portugal, which is a secular democratic state, which 200 years ago replaced subjects with citizens, which was the first European country to abolish the death penalty, and the first in the European Union to adopt the Istanbul Convention, which is the 19th member of the Council of Europe, which has progressive laws in which nobody can be discriminated against because of their gender, their ethnicity, religion, or sensual orientation. I can only imagine what it is like to be a woman governed by the Taliban. In the book Zarifa, A Woman's Battle in a Man's World, you recall the day that Kabul was taken by the Taliban. In a few hours, the city was transformed. Everything changed. Everything closed. Deserted streets, silence, and fear, a lot of fear. Coronavirus managed to isolate cities and countries, close schools, shops, and factories, immobilize ships, cars, and planes, close millions of free citizens at home. Because of coronavirus, the streets were deserted, cities silent, and people full of fear. The vaccine against COVID-19 released us from masks and fear and returned our freedom to be together, to walk in the street, and to travel. It was easier to discover the vaccine and create the COVAX mechanism than to and to overcome the virus than to liberate women from the morals police and recognize their basic rights and to overcome the Taliban. The British writer Mary Beard, in her interesting book Women and Power, explains how this denial of women's rights goes a long way back. Homer in the Odyssey tells how Odysseus and Penelope's son sent his mother back to the women's quarters because he said that talking is men's business. Misogyny has centuries of history and many faces. The misogyny of the Taliban and other dictators is more obvious, but Trump and Bolsonaro used it to combat politically Hillary Clinton and Dilma Rousseff. Verbal aggression continues to be the main source of intimidation and silencing women whenever they dare to emerge from anonymity and become visible and gain public recognition. The misogyny of the past is present today in political discourse, and it's amplified in the social media. Currently, our life is influenced by algorithms, our choices, our reading, even our ideas. Digital technologies represent new spaces for violence and oppression against women. A clear example of this is the scandal about the hiring algorithm of Amazon, which discriminated against women. After a number of reprogrammings, the algorithm continued to prefer men, and as a result of this, the company was forced to deactivate it. This case shows that machine neutrality doesn't exist, and that machines are programmed by people who are influenced by social contexts in which prejudices and stereotypes based on gender prevail. I conclude and repeat that it's something that we can never say too often. Women cannot give up any of their rights that are granted to men. The right to speak, the right to the public space and media space, the right to participate and in decision making. It's the same right to make mistakes as well, which is recognized to every human except to women. Women don't want privileges, we want rights. We don't want to be victims nor heroines, we want to be citizens. Thank you very much.
Thank you. I'm now passing the floor to the Secretary General of the Council of EU, Maria Burić. You have the floor.
Monsieur.
Mr. President of the Portuguese Republic. Mr. Speaker of the Portuguese Parliament, Madam Vice Chair of the Parliamentary Assembly of the Council of Europe, members of Parliament, of the Portuguese Parliament, ladies and gentlemen, laureates of the Northouse Prize, Excellencies, ladies and gentlemen. Each year, we gather to thank and to congratulate to new laureates of the Northouse Prize. And every year, these two laureates show that if the application of the rights, the human rights and the democracy and the rule of law faces several challenges which are specific to each region and country in the world. However, there are values to which we all can aspire and which are based sometimes on the talent and the determination of both people and organizations which are remarkable. The two laureates of this year are such an example. Zarifa Ghaffari, it is a woman of courage, of determination and resilience. In Afghanistan, it is extremely difficult for a woman to have any sort of political activity. And still, and by becoming the mayoress of Madam Shah, Mrs. Ghaffari has become one of the rare women to be in this type of office. And the youngest among them when she was only 26 years. The threats and the protests against her age and her gender delayed her appointment, but they have not stifled her determination. Neither the assassination attempts which followed, quite the opposite. Mrs. Ghaffari followed on her course. She organized campaigns against waste and fights for the protection of women's rights. And she has supported very specific changes and the conceptual alterations which are needed to improve the life of her co-citizens. Thus, it is not surprising, Zarifa, that you have become a model for women in Afghanistan and elsewhere. It's no wonder that you were chosen by the State Department of the United States to receive the award of the International Women of Courage, or that you're here today as a laureate of the North-South Prize 2022. After Taliban's have been in power in Afghanistan, I know that your family and you yourself had to take refuge in Germany. It's very unfair that you were forced to do so. But you left your country without having betrayed your principles, neither your role. You are a source of inspiration, and you, in fact, are an excellent beneficiary of this award. This is equally true for COVAX mechanism and those people, which are many, which are very talented and dedicated, who are in charge of its management. The availability of COVID-19 vaccines were a turning point in the pandemic. It allowed public authorities and other authorities to save lives and to help people to rebuild their links in a their connections in a climate of safety and trust, coordinated by the Coalition for the Innovations in from the Preparation of Epidemies, the Gavi Alliance, and the WHO. The COVAX mechanism is equally brought in UNICEF, national authorities, civil society, and the private sector, wishing to guarantee an equal and innovative access to diagnosis, treatments, and vaccines. It's very difficult to name the number of lives that the mechanism saved. We know what has been the contribution that it brought about in these days of mourning and of anguish that each of us could never have imagined during these modern times. The option of creating an international coalition in a spirit of multilateralism corresponds to the vision of the North-South Centre and the Council of Europe, as well as that determination to support the most vulnerable within our societies. It's an insight that our two laureates this year have in common.
The moral challenges that they have taken on rely on individuals' effort, but they also need the concerted action of governments working together for the common good. The Council of Europe exists to do exactly that. On the need to tackle the impact of the coronavirus, we too have been proactive. Early on in the pandemic, I issued every member state with a toolkit document. It made clear how governments could tackle the crisis with effective action while making sure that any restrictions to citizens' rights were necessary, proportionate, and limited in duration. Every part of our organization has been engaged with the fight against COVID. This included our work to protect women who were at greater risk of violence as a result of lockdowns in which they were often trapped with their abusers. Because on women's rights, the Council of Europe, like Zarifa Ghaffari, is also active and determined with a gender equality strategy that includes action against sexism and our Istanbul Convention on Preventing and Combating Violence Against Women and Domestic Violence. The Istanbul Convention is the international gold standard in its field. Made in Europe, but open to the world. Non-European governments can also ratify it. And wherever it is in force, it brings about real change to the benefit of women and societies as a whole. Yes. There are those who have pushed back against its provisions and misrepresented its purpose and effect. And yes, this is part of a broader pushback on anti-rights trend that has emerged in some parts of our continent. But the Istanbul Convention circle of membership continues to grow because we return over and over to making the strong and honest case for it. And we will continue to do the same for human rights in every area. But we need citizens and organizations to keep up the fight too, taking action and sometimes taking risks for the better future that we seek. North and South, East and West, here and now. Today's prize winners have done just that. And they join the other distinguished laureates who have captured our imagination and respect over the years. So we thank you, Zarifa Ghaffari, and everyone who has contributed to the COVAX mechanism. You have changed lives, you have saved lives, and we are humbled by the selfless contribution you made. Contributions and congratulations on winning the North-South Prize. Thank you very much.
Passing the floor to the now the President of the Republic is now going to award the North House Prize 2022 to the representatives of the COVAX mechanism, Ms. Brombachos, Jen Haltend, Advela Kadili, Bruce Howarth, and to the laureates Zarifa Ghaffari. Excellencies, the President of the Republic and the Speaker of the Parliament will now award the North House Prize, the Council of Europe, to COVAX mechanism, represented by Mr. Drombachos, President of the Chairman of the Board of Gavi, Vaccine Alignment, Jim Hartman, President of the Board, Coalition for Epidemic Preparedness and Innovations, Edvileva Kadili, Director of Supply Operations in UNICEF and Bruce Enward, Senior Advisor of the Director General of the WHO. The President of the Republic and the Speaker of the Parliament will now award North and South Prize at the Council of Europe 2021 to Zarifa Ghaffari, the former mayor of Meiran Shah, capital province of Erbakan in Afghanistan.
Darei agora a palavra.
passing the floor to representatives of the COVAX mechanism, first of all, to the chair of the board of Gavi Vaccine Alliance, Mr. Drombachos. You have the floor, sir. Mr. President of the Republic, Speaker of the Parliament, Secretary General of the Council of Europe, ministers, members of government, President of the Executive Committee of the North-South Centre, members of Parliament, ladies and gentlemen, dear friends.
Two words in English to say on behalf of all of us at COVAX, how deeply honored we feel for receiving this prestigious award of the Council of Europe. My colleagues at COVAX, Jane Helton, Chair of CEPI, and also my co-chair in the COVAX coordination meetings, Bruce Eilert from the World Health Organization, Eva Kadili from UNICEF, we want to express to you our deep gratitude to the Council of Europe, to the North-South Centre, but also to Portugal, to the Portuguese authorities, for organizing this beautiful ceremony here at the Assembly of Republic of Portugal. Muito obrigado. Muito obrigado também em nome...
Thank you so much on behalf of Gavi, whom I have the honor of presiding for this prize. We're very proud to have been performed our role to have become to make COVAX a success, the global solution the world required during this global crisis. That would have not been possible without the dedicated and tireless work of countless people that make of Gavi and our sister organizations and WHOs, CEPI and UNICEF. So I'd like to pay tribute to each one of those men and women who, during this period, under great stress, were able to contribute towards these humanitarian goals, which are the goals presiding over COVAX. On behalf of Gavi, I'd like to say that we have a global impact, but we are relatively small, made up of just a few hundred of people. When this pandemic struck, we are right at the center of the response to the pandemic, given the accumulated experience for more than 20 years in distributing vaccines, particularly in very difficult regions and in very vulnerable countries. Gavi is driven by its mission, protecting lives of millions of most vulnerable people and helping to lift them out of poverty. And it's exactly this sort of commitment and sense of purpose that has made COVAX work. Like Gavi, COVAX is essential an alliance built on the strengths of each individual partner organization, strong points. Its success was built on the fact that it was able to draw on the expertise, knowledge, and resources of each organization whenever needed. And it was only by mobilizing this type of approach in network that we're able to carry out what has been the world's largest and most complex deployment of vaccines ever. Gavi's contribution has rested on its long track record of improving access to vaccines, particularly for children in difficult regions. In the last 2 decades, it's enabled Gavi to help these countries to protect more than 1 billion children, and in doing so, prevent more than 16 million deaths. In a typical year, let's say, Gavi helps to vaccinate around half the world's children. So when I had to deal with COVID-19, it was clear from our experience of working with countries and vaccine manufacturers, our experience to create high-volume, low-cost markets would be essential for a global equitable access to vaccines against the pandemic. Based on these, on Gavi's experience of ensuring supply security of quality vaccines at affordable prices, COVAX was able to guarantee that the ability to pay did not determine whether or not people got the protection they needed from COVID-19. In view of extremely difficult conditions, which explain some failures, COVAX was able to deliver the first doses of vaccines for low-income countries, only 39 days after the distribution of vaccines in the wealthy countries. Until now, COVAX has practically distributed 1,800 million doses of vaccines in 146 countries or economies. These 1,800,000 doses, approximately 90%, were shipped to people in low-income countries. Otherwise, without COVAX, many of these countries would have no access to vaccines. So we have done a work we're proud of, but we recognize there's still a great deal to do in the future. We are very proud for the multilateral cooperation. We'd like to stress this. At the moment like this that we're living, which is geopolitically determined by a great deal of friction, is important despite the differences of opinion that we were able to keep some multilateral mechanisms, particularly when we have to respond to global problems such as public health. It's important to have a multilateral collaboration that will go beyond political differences or ideological differences, which we witness in today's world. This is why your prize is a distinction and a recognition of multilateralism, of the need to keep multilateralism in the difficult moment the world is living through. So again, on behalf of all of those in COVAX, in particular on behalf of Gavi, we'd like to thank the Council of Europe and the North House Centre the award that we've just received. Finally, we also be very privileged to receive this award at the same time as the award is very justly awarded to Zarifa Ghaffari, which is a symbol of women's struggles in Afghanistan. Thank you very much for your attention. Thank you very much, and I'm passing the floor to the Chair of the Board of Coalition for Epidemic Preparedness and Innovation, Jane Holton.
President of the Republic, Vice President of the Assembly, Secretary General of the Council of Europe, and representatives of the North-South Centre, distinguished guests, colleagues, and friends. I'm honoured to be here today on behalf of CEPI, the Coalition for Epidemic Preparedness Innovations, alongside my COVAX colleagues and the other distinguished laureate, to accept this award. Our mission is to develop vaccines to counter epidemic and pandemic threats. Who could have thought that our timing would be so exquisite in the establishment of CEPI some 5 years ago? Let's face it, it's been a really tough few years for us all. We have seen, and for many of us, personally experienced loss. We have witnessed the power and the devastation of SARS-CoV-2 that has been wrought literally in every corner of the world. And we have battled against the injustice that saw rich countries lining up to vaccinate their populations while vast swathes of the rest of the world were left behind. So, whilst we are a long way from successfully dealing with SARS-CoV-2, I am proud that the collective hard work of all of those in our organisations is being recognised and celebrated here today. This is really one for our people. It's worth remembering that 2 years ago, COVAX did not exist. We had no global means of developing, producing, procuring, and deploying vaccines on the scale demanded by the challenge of this pandemic. And for those of us who had lived and worked through that last pandemic of H1N1 in 2009, we knew that we were going to see a bidding war for vaccines as soon as we were fortunate enough to have one, let alone many, that worked. So we had a health problem, the scale of which I had not seen in my lifetime, and a systems problem that meant national governments were going to seek to prioritise national over global interests. The choice in front of us was stark. Throw up our hands in despair and say, this is just too difficult. Or get stuck in and design a way to meet the challenge in a way that had never been done before. Of course, that's what we went for. And that's where COVAX was born. And with it, what has been the largest and fastest mass immunization effort in history. I'm amazed if I actually think of the scale of this endeavor. From January 2020, when the first genetic sequence of this virus was released, there was no vaccine to fight this deadly disease, to the 1.8 billion doses successfully delivered of safe and effective vaccine that COVAX has supplied around the world. CEPI alone now holds one of the largest and most diverse global portfolios of COVID vaccines, with access to those medicines at the heart of our agreement. But of course, it's not enough. Acceptance of this award must also serve as a moment to recognize the viral dangers that are continuing to circulate worldwide. Resurgence of monkeypox, polio, Sudan, Ebola virus are almost daily reminders that our interconnected and fast warming world is going to be the subject of more viral outbreaks. We are going to need to fight concurrent outbreaks within some cases where there are limited tools of defense. If we're going to do this successfully, we'll need to learn the lessons of this pandemic and move beyond the cycles of panic and neglect so we are prepared in future. I've seen this close up, what we've collectively achieved, and when we share our vision and a sense of purpose, what we can galvanize. And I've seen how the collaboration of COVAX can help us learn to build a better model for years to come. And I acknowledge my co-chair, Jose Manuel Barroso. We have worked very well together as chairs of this mechanism, and it's been a privilege to work with him and my colleagues. So I want to say thank you to all of those involved in this endeavor, to those of you who are in the room, and to those in our organizations who helped make COVAX a reality. But I want to also thank the jury for awarding this prize, because it underscores the importance of human rights, of global access, and most importantly, the benefits, the strengths, and the absolute necessity of global collaboration. Thank you.
Thank you very much. Now, the Director of Supply Operations of UNICEF, Etlewa Kadili. You have the floor, madam.
President of the Republic of Portugal, President of the Portuguese Assembly, Secretary General of Council of Europe, President of the Executive Committee of North-South Center, Excellencies, distinguished guests, colleagues. Good afternoon to all. It is an honor to be here today alongside with my esteemed colleagues from WHO, Gavi, and CEPI to accept this prize on behalf of UNICEF as part of the COVAX mechanism. Today, we celebrate the extraordinary partnership and the global solidarity behind COVAX, not only between the four agencies that are receiving this prize, this award, but also governments, donors, civil society, and private sector. It is the collective global action which made it possible for the first COVID-19 vaccines to reach a low-income country just 23 days after the world's first vaccination was actually administered in the UK. Today, 1.8 billion doses have been shipped to 146 countries a remarkable milestone that we have achieved together. COVAX has truly historical in its speed, scale, and reach. The partnership behind the COVAX mechanism has also been historic. The synergy between WHO, Gavi, CEPI, and UNICEF leveraged decades of our strong collaboration between our agencies to address one of the greatest public health challenges of our time. Our collective efforts spanned from research and development to procurement and logistics to supporting countries to prepare for receiving, rolling out vaccines and other COVID tools to protect their populations. Together, we have addressed complex challenges and we have developed solutions, supporting countries to build on existing foundations while strengthening systems with an eye to the future. For example, pre-pandemic investments in cold chain infrastructure for routine immunization and outbreaks have helped countries prepare to roll out COVID-19 vaccines. And in turn, the additional investments and health systems during the pandemic response are now serving to support routine immunization and will help to address future disease outbreaks. In addition, our work on community engagement and social listening has helped us understand the barriers to uptake, not just for COVID vaccines, but also for routine immunization. The lessons from this historical handover are already shaping and informing the way we are approaching preparedness and response to disease outbreaks. Without question, COVAX has proven global health security and equitable access depend on a networked approach. Today, we celebrate this networked effort, the power of partnership, and the importance of global solidarity. Yes, our work is not yet finished. We must go extra mile to reach all communities, and we will get there only together. I thank you once again for the honor of this award, along with Zarifa Ghaffari, and would like to acknowledge the work of all colleagues in the COVAX facility around all the agencies and those of UNICEF teams around the world who contributed to this. It has been an incredible collective journey, and all of us at UNICEF are truthfully grateful to be part of this historical global moment. Thank you very much.
Thank you very much. I will now pass the floor to the Director General of WHO, Dr. Bruce Aylward. You have the floor, sir.
President of the Republic, President of the Assembly of the Republic, Honourable Ministers, Secretary General of the Council of Europe, President of the Portuguese Parliamentary Delegation to the Council, President of the Executive Committee of the North-South Centre, parliamentarians, Madam Ghaffari, friends and colleagues. The World Health Organization is honored and humbled, truly humbled, to join our COVAX partners, Gavi, CEPI, and UNICEF in accepting this prize on behalf of the billions of people for whom we work to end the scourge of this pandemic. COVAX and the ACT Accelerator Initiative, of which it's part, stand in these troubled times as concrete examples of what can be achieved through innovative, collaborative initiatives that are anchored in the same commitment to human rights and solidarity as the Council of Europe is. COVAX was forged as COVID-19 was racing across continents, wreaking havoc on health systems, economies, and societies. Stopping COVID, it was clear, required rapid and equitable access to life-saving tools and especially to vaccines. And this was required everywhere. We were driven, frankly, by the fundamental right of all people to health. And like this prize, the North-South Prize, COVAX was founded on the principle of solidarity. We could only achieve our common objective of beating COVID through unprecedented collaboration between North and South and between our agencies. But equitable access to COVID vaccines required an innovative end-to-end and global approach, all the way from research to rollout in the field. And this, quite frankly, was way beyond the means of any single organization. So, as Professor Barroso laid out, we harnessed the very best of our four organizations and many more to operate as one. WHO has been privileged to play a special role, almost like the glue in a positive way, across the partnership. From the product standards that help CEPI and Gavi to build the largest portfolio of COVID vaccines in the world, to the regulatory approvals that allowed UNICEF to procure billions of doses of quality-assured vaccines, and to the policies and guidelines that we developed together that helped guide 100 countries to very, very rapidly introduce these vaccines. And when vaccines arrive, the COVAX vaccines in over 150 countries, I want to pay tribute to the WHO and the UNICEF staff who are standing there on the tarmac with their national counterparts waiting to turn these vaccines into vaccinations. This remarkable collaboration, which is COVAX, has had a remarkable impact. I think one of the most interesting and important things is that we cut the delivery time for life-saving tools to get to high-income countries, the time from high-income countries to low-income countries, from over 10 years that it took in the HIV pandemic to just days, as you heard, in this pandemic. It's still not good enough because it didn't happen at the same time, but we'll get there. We also provided, and we're particularly proud, that nearly 80% of the vaccines that got to the poorest countries in the world, the most vulnerable populations, came from COVAX. And most importantly, we helped countries and communities save millions of lives. When I say we, it's not just the four of us or the millions of people we work with, but the billions of people that, frankly, are part of COVAX around the world. And as the world has learned, that we will face more pandemics, and we will face them more frequently in the past, we have also, in the future, we have also learned how, through the collaboration and solidarity of COVAX and the broader ACT Accelerator mechanisms, we can overcome these challenges. Excellencies, this North-South Prize not only recognizes our work, but the hundreds of COVAX partners, from countries, donors, communities, individuals, and community organizations. In closing, may I take this opportunity to again thank the Council of Europe for this important award, which recognizes this effort anchored in the fundamental right to health, the fundamental rights to life, and in solidarity. And may I thank you as well for continuing to work with us as we go forward to build a safer and a fairer world together. Obrigado.
Muito obrigado. Dou agora a palavra.
Thank you very much. I now pass the floor to the laureate Zarifa Ghaffari. You have the floor, madam.
His Excellency, Mr. President of the Republic of Portugal, His President of the Assembly of the Republic of Portugal, respected ministers, dear Secretary General of Council of Europe, my fellow awardees, ladies and gentlemen. In a time where Afghan women are forced to silence, deprived of their basic educational right, and forced to likely lose entire their identity. In a time that just right now, while we are sitting here and celebrating this award and everything, dozens of girls demonstrating in Kabul University, just right in a moment, I'm receiving this award alongside my amazing fellows from COVEX, which is clearly a sign of how amazingly we Afghan women are, symbols of commitment and courage. And from here, I dedicate this award to all brave women in Afghanistan, to all these girls who are right now demonstrating in Kabul University, who all are standing there so strong inside the country and giving us the privilege and the trust and honor of being their voice out of Afghanistan. I have just 10 minutes to speak. But when it comes to my country about Afghanistan, and when I get a mic and a platform like this, honorable and prestigious, to speak to it, I'm losing my mind because there are so many things I need to share, I need to talk. As a 6-year-old child, my mom stopped me from entering a room full of men, colleagues of my dad, because I was a young girl and I was not allowed due to community rules to enter that room and sit with these all men. From there to becoming a youngest female mayor at the age of 24. And then at the age of 25 to near about 26, losing my dad to a terrorist group. And then on 27 years of life, losing entire my country. The pain I have been through, it's not just mine. The pain I have been through, it's not just what I have experienced. Millions of people in Afghanistan are experiencing this from decades to decades. In Afghanistan right now, the political situation is really in a harsh way. This is the first ever time in all 5,000 years of Afghanistan's history that Afghanistan is under control of a terrorist group fully, 100%. Their children are trained for jihad against all non-Muslim countries and against all these whatever extremist ideologies for all the extremist ideologies that these tourist groups are having. Big and small tourists from all over the world are making safe havens in Afghanistan. There is no hope of a democratic system and government right now. The world also sympathizes with the people of Afghanistan with just issuing statements. In short, the shameful Doha Agreement has sold out not only us, our dreams, our hopes, our people, democratic values, and humanity, but entire our future to a terrorist group or to all those people who have played power on lives of humans. Economical situation of Afghanistan, 90% of the people of Afghanistan are hungry right now. Because of unemployment, people are selling their children and body parts. Half of Afghanistan's population, women of Afghanistan, the beautiful part of that country, the strongest part of the country, the amazing leading part of the country, is prohibited from working, from raising their voices, from engagement into society. Millions of girls are not going to school. Everyone sitting in this room, just imagine, just because of the scene of rising of age of your girl child, they are not allowed to go to school. In Afghanistan, this is happening. We are going through that. The economic system of the country is totally destroyed. The banking system is completely paralyzed. Next winter, there will be a huge humanitarian crisis in Afghanistan, which is clearly started right just now. Social status in Afghanistan. Afghanistan is a hell where sinful men lives in luxury, and on the contrary, women born in flame of war, injustice, and gender discrimination. The lives of human rights defenders, media journalists, and civil activists, and whoever dare to speak, are threatened every moment. Women are not allowed to study and work. People of my country are deprived of standard health services. Every day, many women and civilians are killed in ISIS and other terrorist groups' attacks in Afghanistan. All intellectuals are trying to escape from their homeland, like what I did and like dozens of others did, now more for their safety as well for their future of their children, in particular the girls and their education. So disadvantages are so clear. If the world does not control terrorism in Afghanistan, it will soon create security problem as past all around the world once again. If Afghanistan's economic system deteriorates, the wave of immigration will break the backbone of first European countries. If the production of drugs and drug mafia and opium in Afghanistan is not prevented and controlled, the streets of Europe will be filled with addicts. The history, right now, I'm sure, won't let it out of records, whatever is happening in Afghanistan. In 15th of August, there was people fleeing down from planes. They were not birds, they were human beings. And I am sure the history is not able to forget it. And if we want to, exactly at least, in this recourse of the world, keep our spaces a little bit cleaner than the ones who have directly been involved in all the shameful games played in my country, I have some suggestions. The shameful Doha Agreement should be really first everyone need to know about it. I'm really sorry to say this all words here, but I'm sure this stage is so prestigious, and whatever I'm saying here, it goes all around Europe. Does any European country involved in Afghanistan knows about that Doha Agreement, which was signed by U.S. and just on behalf of everyone, all entire world involved in Afghanistan with the Taliban? If not, first, let's know that. Second, let's help if we can really declare it canceled. Put serious pressure on Taliban. The pressure on Taliban is so easy. Put pressure on Taliban through their sponsor countries, in particular Pakistani government, which have been always a biggest supporter of terrorism all around the world. And the clear example is the presence of Osama bin Laden, the one who was directly the one at the back of 9/11 attack, and the one who all entire Afghanistan war started with. World leaders should urgently organize an international conference instead of just sending statements, just sharing the pain of all the people of Afghanistan, to solve the problem of Afghanistan instead of tried and tested corrupt representative giving, instead of giving chance and voice into these people, into justice representatives and politicians. When Bonn conference was, if we were able to have the Bonn conference, then why not another conference to end another conflict in a better way? Afghanistan is right now going through a very big, challenging situation. We need everyone to speak on about it. Supporting another war in Afghanistan is a very big mistake once again. And to create an exclusive government is the biggest choice and the only choice more forward to prevent another war. If care is not taken, many people will burn in the fire of terrorism and the entire world will be just if they are once again just sending statements while we are using any platform to speak about how we can challenge and tackle these challenges, that will be really painful, not only for us, but the world and the people of the world. And last, if the fight for freedom, life and women in Iran is important, support it, and always from politicians to anyone around the world is ready to speak about it. Please, let's dare to talk and support the fight of education for girls, primary schools, so basic human rights, freedom of speech, and just the fight of representing a woman by their own gender. Thank you so much. Once again, it's a really pleasure being here, and I'm so honored to receive this award on behalf of all Afghan women. And definitely, I can't enough thank anyone, but trust me, I'm so privileged because it's not just me, it's women of Afghanistan, and I'm really, really humbled to receive this. Thank you so much.
Thank you very much. The floor will be passed to the President of the Portuguese Republic.
Senhora.
Speaker of the Portuguese Parliament, Secretary General of the Council of Europe, Ministers, Chairman of the Executive Committee of North South Centre, Laureates, Ambassadors, chairs of parliamentary groups, members of parliament, excellencies. A first point to congratulate very warmly the Secretary General of the Council of Europe. Your presence here recognizes the topicality of the North-South Centre and the Council of Europe, not a time not only when we are looking at a change in balance of powers and wonder whether there's going to be a new international order. We cannot, therefore, ignore what's actually happening in the North, not just in the South. Also, I recall being member of the first Constituent Assembly of the Portuguese Parliament in the revolution of in 1975 of the Council of Europe, where Portugal was explaining how it was constructing its democracy in the midst of a revolution. I was learning with the Council of Europe how to strengthen the fight to ensure rule of law, freedom and democracy. The North-South Prize awarded today and as it is every year here in the home of democracy in Portugal, represents everything which is relevant when it comes to values, peace, human dignity, rights throughout Europe and throughout the world, inscribed in the founding documents of the North South Centre and the Council of Europe. And this day of prize giving, given to personalities and organisations which have been distinguished for so many years, and two of whom, in fact, have been Portuguese, Jorge Sampaio and Mário Soares, undoubtedly comprise the best contribution of the increasingly necessary dissemination of such values. This all takes place at a dramatic time in Europe. For 8 months, it has been devastated by a terrible military and political situation, censured by the international community, and which has left as victims many people, including children. In fact, it has devastated what is most precious in every human life. And we are also all trying to recover with difficulty from a pandemic situation, and this has had a knock-on effect on the social and economic plane. I mention all of these things to highlight the importance of the principles and the mission of the Council of Europe and the North-South Centre. And the laureates this year illustrate that extremely eloquently. They have greatly deserve our recognition, our congratulations. They are fighting for global solidarity and interdependence in a time of crisis. The courageous example of Zarifa Garafari, who impresses not so much because she's young, because of the passion with which she defends her ideals and her preparedness to fight for those ideals, being so young. And she is a guiding light for other unfair societies. All fighters, women and men, should be able to enjoy the same freedoms, rights, guarantees and opportunities. This laureate has placed her life in jeopardy many times. She was forced to leave her own country, Afghanistan, but she didn't stop one second to raise her voice in the fight for gender equality, access to education and politics for girls and women, joining her voice to so many others in so many other parts of the world who are conducting the same fight. And talking about Afghanistan, it weighs on our heart to witness a former head of state in Kabul airport at the end of 2019, our compatriots on a peace mission there, the amongst the last to leave, what they felt, they understood the significance of the moment that they were witnessing. In a diverse context, the award of the North-South Prize to the COVAX Alliance the represented by João Manuel Durão Barroso and by the other representatives, Jane Halton, Et Liva Cadilli and Bruce Aylward, represents values which goes beyond their specific roles so that they could put in up and running equal access to COVID-19 vaccines for all people in all corners of the world, both in the north and in the south, irrespective of their economic or social status. That exceptional cooperation which covered the will of two-thirds of the people of the world, illustrates the best that is found in men and women and leaders in our days to create a different and better world. It's with this belief that the Council of Europe over decades has carried out its remarkable task to promote and protect human rights, to promote the rule of law. And even now, faced with challenging circumstances, as we've seen this year, it is dedicated to continuing to play a central role for multilateralism and ensuring that Europe is free and democratic. As for Portugal, president after president, parliament after parliament, government after government, I follow on in stating the great honour that we have in being the headquarters of the North-South Centre. It's a source of pride for us. And it translates what we consider to be essential when it comes to being universalist and open to dialogue between all peoples, cultures and civilizations. Our laureates today, to you I say, we will never forget your service to millions and millions of human beings. We will never forget what COVAX did to help in a dramatic period of almost 2 years of fighting against COVID-19. We will never forget the courage of Zarifa Ghaffari, nunca. And I was so pleased to know that you were in Afghanistan and in fact, it was not a definitive return, but nevertheless, it was an example, because your example is so important for so many young people throughout the world. Your passion in the service of the fight for women and their rights. And we will never forget that your life, your work, as it has been so far, and we wish you a long life with many great works ahead of you. So we meet together every year to honour the past, to bring this into the present, and to construct a better world in the future. That is the aspiration of the Council of Europe. That is the struggle of the laureates who we have in our presence here today. Thank you very much. Thank you very much. The session is adjourned. Thank you very much to all of you for being here.